What a wonderful morning of worship it was, wasn't it? What a wonderful morning. You know, so as you know, today is holidays, and so what I'll do, I'll try and keep this short. I'll try and keep it just, I'll try and get my point across quickly. And, you know, we have a tradition in the office that when it's your birthday, we have a morning tea. And you get asked hard questions, birthday questions. Some of them are fun, like would you rather have webbed toes or eyebrows that join in the middle you couldn't shave for medical reasons? The really important ones, you know, and then there's the less important, you know, the more silly ones, like what's the one thing you learnt this year? What's the most important thing that God has shown you this year? And so, you know, it's, being born at the end of the year, I often have a bit of a reflection on the year and on my birthday. And so I thought, why not just knock it on the head today so we don't have to worry about it tomorrow. So today I just want to talk a bit about, like, one of the main things I think that it's important for us in our journey, but it's also something that God has really, 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 like, emphasized to me this year. And it sounds really simple. It sounds so simple. But you think you understand it, but you don't. And then you do, and then you don't, and you do a bit more. And so today I want to try to explain to you what I think what God has shown me the most this year. And that is that Jesus is all you need. Jesus is all you need, and everything else is a counterfeit. And it seems like that's something that should be so simple. That should be something that's, of course, but I'll try and explain the journey of how God has revealed this to us a bit. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 25, verse 31-34. I found an old journal entry from 2014 and I was struggling. It was funny, I had to laugh at it. I was struggling with this passage of Scripture. I'll read it out. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put his sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed in my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came and visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and we give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needed clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?' And the king will reply, 'I tell you truly, whatever you did for one of these, the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.' And then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me.' And they will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?' And he will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' And then they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." And I was struggling with this passage of Scripture because it seems to fly in the face of what we know about salvation itself, is that we are saved by grace through faith and not by works. And it seemed to me at the time like these people were being separated based on what they did, like their works. It seemed very works-based what was decided. It was specific works. It was charity. It was generosity, liberality, all of these good things. It was putting others before yourself, all these great things, but it was still works. And I couldn't figure out this. I thought, this is a strange passage of Scripture. Until I noticed two things, and that was, one is that both parties were, when said, like, you fed me or you didn't, you gave me something to drink or you didn't, etc., both parties when this was brought to them, were surprised that this was being brought into evidence. And also, Jesus said, whenever you did this for anyone, you did this for me. And so this is what I take away from this, is that it wasn't the work that saved them or didn't. The work was the evidence that they were being saved. Does that make sense? The work in itself, the fact that they were doing it or not, was the evidence that God, the Holy Spirit, was in them, was working through them, and was building them up. Amen. Was unto salvation. And I want to stop and I want to say something here today. And you know what I see when I see you, One Church Perth? I see an incredible amount of love, an incredible amount of care. The way you guys look after each other astounds me. It really does. I see learning and I see teaching. I see prayer and worship. I see transformation. Like I see community in our midst. And most of it happens without myself, Matt, or the team having anything to do with it. What I'm saying is I see evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in you, church. That's something to give the Lord a round of applause for. I think that's amazing. I see that evidence, and it's become more and more clear to me. I think we've had an interesting year this year. We've had ups, we've had downs, we've had things we never saw coming. We've had wins and we've had losses. We've had health problems. We've had relationship breakdowns. We've had financial troubles this year, and I'm talking not just like collectively, but individually, it's happened, and we know. And what has caused us to happen is it's caused us to spring into action. And I say us because I mean us. And look after each other. And that's exciting to me because that shows me that Jesus is alive and well. That shows me the Holy Spirit is living in you, in the church. That is happy news. Amen. That's happy news. Turn with me to Galatians 5 from chapter 5 to verse 13. So if the works were the evidence that they were being saved, we should read Galatians 13 to 26. And this is part of what God has been showing me this year, is that Jesus is all we need and everything else is counterfeit. Galatians 5:13 to 26 says this: "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, and drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." You know, if the evidence that those on the right were being saved was the fact of how they responded when they saw people in need, then this tells me the evidence of how your Christian walk is going should be right here. It's easy, you know, we can judge ourselves, we can fall out of this thing, we can fall out of step with the Spirit, I would say you'd call it. back into the flesh. And what we start to do is we start to look at things that aren't really what God would consider a measuring post for your walk with God. Have you ever considered that your Christian walk and how it's going can be measured by the amount of love in your life? The fruit of the Spirit. Is the Spirit alive and active in you if you're a Christian? Yes, it is. Have you ever considered that you can tell how your walk with God is going by the joy you experience? Have you ever considered peace and worrying, conflict with each other? Because what we can do, we can fall out of step with the Spirit. We can look at different things. We can look at different ways where we find value in ourselves. We find, we find things to keep us busy and to keep us happy. All counterfeits. At the end of the day, Jesus is what you need. Jesus is what you need. Let's talk about peace for a second. Peace is one of those things where we have peace when things aren't going wrong. Is that right? We don't worry because things are going okay. Things are going swimmingly, and so we have peace in our lives. Let me talk about the flesh versus the spirit approach to this. If you want peace in your life and you think to yourself, if only all my bills were paid, if only the bill, debt collectors would stop ringing me, if only my relationships would be better, if only that guy would stop being a jerk and doing videos on my birthday, if all of that would happen in my life, I would have peace. I would have joy. Do you know, that is idolatry in itself. That's idolatry. Because you're putting your faith in your bank account, you're putting your faith in your job, you're putting your faith in anything else except for God. And your joy, you know, everywhere you look, on the television, in the newspaper, on social media, advertising all the time. Have you ever seen a Coca-Cola advert? They don't sell Coke, do they? What do they sell? Lifestyle, joy. They're all down the beach, they're all fit, they're all about 20 years old, they're playing beach volleyball, they run in, they're covered in Coke, and it's like, yes. It's like, that would be the worst, it'd be sticky as, but, you know, you watch those adverts, it's all vibrant colours. They're selling your lifestyle, aren't they? They're selling you joy. And, you know, we think, if I had these clothes, if I had this car, if I had, that would bring me joy. That would fill the gaping hole in my life. And these are the counterfeits, aren't they? And so then we look, those who are not yet saved, we'll say, those in the world, they don't know any better. So that's what we live by, isn't it? That he who dies with the most toys wins. You know, that's it, isn't it? How much money can you make? How important can you make yourself before you go? How much of a mark can you leave on this world before you go? But there's two things about this. Is that real peace, real joy comes when there shouldn't be real peace and real joy, but there is anyway. That is godly joy. That is godly peace. You don't need peace until things are falling apart around you. I think of, you know, if I read my Bible, I struggle to think of one character who had it go easy for them. Can you tell me one character who did anything worth doing who had an easy ride in the Bible? Not one. If you have a think about it, the apostles described it as being pressed but not crushed, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. They're looking for the bright side of life. They're looking for that silver lining, but they're getting struck down. They're getting pressed. You know, I think of David. You're going to be the king of Israel, but for a little while you're going to be hunted like a criminal. I think of Joseph. You're going to be the prime minister of Egypt, but before that you're going to be in a pit. You're going to be sold into slavery. You're going to be tried to be raped, and then you're going to be accused of rape, put into jail for a while, and then if God, if worshipping God and if living this Christian life was about everything going well, then we're reading the wrong book. I don't see any examples of it. But despite those things, God promises you that the internal reality, doesn't matter about the external reality, the external reality actually, the promise is it's going to be tough, doesn't it? But the internal reality, in spite of that, there is going to be peace and there's going to be joy. There's going to be peace and there's going to be joy. And like any idol, if it's built from the external, it can be taken away from you like this. And so here is where God has been showing me this year, is that God is all you need. Jesus is all you need. And really following him, focusing on him, is really what you need. I had written down something here. Let's hope I can... If we want to increase in these things, then the only way we can do it is to pursue God's presence. If you want to pursue peace, joy, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, the only way you can do it is pursue God's presence. And this is something that's been a real conviction for me this year, the last part of this year, is that I don't want to pray just for your finances anymore. I don't want to pray just for your breakthrough anymore. I don't want to pray just for your healing anymore. I want to pray that you get a hold of the healer. I want to pray that you get a hold of Jehovah Jireh. We seek the giver, not the gift. We seek the healer, not the healing. We see the one who gives the breakthrough, not the breakthrough itself. And I see it like this. You know, God showed me a picture. This is a man walking out of the desert, dying of thirst. Dying of thirst. And you go up to him and you hand him a picture of a glass of water. And it's on the best paper. And it's printed in HD. And it's not worth anything to that man. That's because he needs the real thing. And God showed us this year is that if we want to win at life, then we've got to pursue him. He's all that we need. The scripture that has wrecked me for this year, above all, is Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And this is what ties it together. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image, and in his image he created them male and female. He created them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves along the ground." Do you know that's ruined me for so many things I used to believe? That tells you everything you need to know. That frames everything for me. Why do I love people? Because I'm made in the image of God. And God is love. Why do I want to be a good dad? Because God is a good, good father, and I'm made in his image and likeness. Why am I proud to be a man? Because God made me male. And he made you female, and you should be proud of it too. Why do I think racism is bad? Well, because it's stupid to think that if I'm the image of God and somebody who's from a different place is not, that's batty to think like that. Sexism is the same. God made us male and female. And I'm not saying I've never done this, but it's like this thing of don't be such a girl. You know, haven't we all said that growing up? What a stupid thing to say. And, men are so, what are we saying? Who are we being smarmy towards? We're saying that God made a mistake in the way he created us. You know, it informs everything about why. Why am I just? Why do I want to keep the law? Because God is just and I'm made in his image and his likeness. Why do I want to be righteous? Because if I don't, he's going to punish me? No, because he is righteous and I'm made in his image and his likeness. Do you know what that means, image and likeness? When you look in the mirror in the morning, you don't see yourself. You see your image and your likeness in the thing. You see your reflection. When God puts us on the earth, all of the heavens and all of the earth to look to us to see the reflection of God. That informs everything I need to know. Selah, have a think about that. Why? Do you know, like, even the way we live Monday to Saturday, if you build something, if you paint something, if you draw something, if you cook something, if you play some music, doesn't matter what it is, whatever you build, whatever you draw, doesn't have to be a drawing of a cross, whatever you draw, you're made in the image and likeness of a creator. So when you're being creative, you're worshipping God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that so, doesn't that add colour to your walk with God? You know, when you appreciate, you know, like the smell you get with the grass after you've just cut it, or just before it rains, or just after it rains, colours in the sky. When you appreciate those things, you're worshipping God. And when you take those things in, when you have an attitude of thankfulness for that, you'd be surprised. You don't need the things you think you need. If you've got a full belly, roof over your head and someone loves you, you're doing all right. More money's not going to save it, not going to help you there. We've got to seek God. You know, we learn so much about God and about this life from just watching God and who he is and learning about who God is. Through the ups and the downs, through all of it. God is there in the ups, he's there in the downs, he's there throughout all of it. Some of the best lessons I learned was in my worst times. Some of the closest times I drew closer to God was when it was just a necessity. We sort of get sloppy when there's fair weather, isn't it? But through the ups and the downs, we seek God. We seek God, and the more we seek him, the more we become like him. I said one... We're going to read the Bible corporately, cover to cover next year. Read scripture out. We'll put it on Facebook if you haven't already got it, so you can download the link from the App Store. It's going to be amazing. Really, it's going to be amazing. We want to do this because if you want to know about God, where better to start? Read the book about him. It's amazing. And we're going to pray a lot more. We're going to really seek God next year. This is the season that we're in. But God, if you've got it, you've got to understand that you can seek God in every situation, in everything that you do. And one of the best things in my life at the moment is watching, like, kids. Now it's Christmas time, and now I've got my own kid. It's like especially highlighted. And you know, when you're a child, it's almost like it's magic this time of year, isn't it? It's just so exciting. You know, there's wonder in the air. And it's lovely. And you grow up and you get a bit cynical and you lose that, don't you? You start taking yourself too seriously. And, you know, you get proud a bit, you know. And when you have kids, I've noticed, is it all comes back as you live vicariously through them. And I think about that, and I think about how must God see us. We're his children, and we're experiencing things. You know, we took Juliet to the Christmas lights in June, and just to see the wonder in her eyes, wow, everything. You know, we're walking back, and someone had their, like, porch light on. Christmas! It's just a regular light. Wow, Christmas! And it does something, you know. And you know, if you've had kids, you know what I'm talking about. What might God think about us? It's so simple. We can get so caught up. You know, we think about what we do in our ministry. We think about what we do in church. We think about how people see us. We judge our relationship with God based on that, and it's rubbish. It's rubbish. The end of it all is this, is that the more we behold God, the more we become like him. And we are the image and likeness of God. And so whatever you need, whether it be financial breakthrough, relationship restoring, whether it be a health problem restored, seek the one who has the answers. He will, as you behold him, you will become like him. As you become like him, those things will happen anyway. I firmly believe that. So, church, that's all I have to say today, really. I was going to do a big thing where we come out the front and we all do a fire tunnel and we pray for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, and but we've already done it. So we got Christmas next week. Look, I feel like, is the worship team still here? Yeah? Most? Do we have enough to do a song to play us out? What time is it? Ah, perfect. Can we play a song yet? Guys, we have, you know, I just want to say, like, I just want to say these are times that are precious. Our worship times are precious because these are times where we all get together, we're here, we're blessed with skilled musicians to help us on our way in worshiping God. You know? And so let's press into this thing today. Let's seek God. Let's worship Him. The songs that you were picked this week were just inspired. Honestly, the words that were sung this week were just inspired. Honestly, it was incredible. So sing, I've said this before, sing. Sing, if your head doesn't believe it, if your heart doesn't believe it, sing until they catch up.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So we're gonna pray and we're gonna play and worship here now. And I invite you to do so. And then after we've finished, we're going to dismiss you. But before then, I know there's kids here, but encourage your kids. Come and worship with your kids. If you've got your kids, bring them up the front. Stand up the front with them. Worship with them. Let them see you worship. Let them see you press into God. Let them see mum and dad do it. You know? Bring them down the front. If they want to run around, if they want to play, right now, let them. Don't worry about it. Come and worship. Amen.